Good afternoon, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of Free Washington, Spokane Valley. Once again, brought to you by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea Republican, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. And once again, this is the year we make freedom a reality, because our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. And we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action, and especially voting in November as part of that action. And as Jeremiah 6:16 reminds us, stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. How many of you out there want some rest for your soul right about now? I know there's a lot of folks, especially the ones that I'm talking to. Which brings us to the international front on your daily intelligence briefing, and a lot going on that is just weird. Okay, just kind of things that don't make sense, cross purposes, disinformation, all kinds of stuff in the news right now. So I'm going to try to go down this and maybe give a little bit of a an opinion, I guess, on where I think it's coming from. But some of it's speculation, so I'll make sure I say that. First, on the international front, was there an assassination attempt against Julian Assange at the Ecuadorian embassy in London? That's the question. Somebody caught climbing the side, like Spider-Man. I think Assange called it like a cat burglar, trying to scale the side of the embassy. Security is alerted, and the person runs off. All of this after Guccifer, the alleged hacker that hacked Hillary Clinton's emails, is found dead in his cell here a month ago. And after a DNC staffer who allegedly leaked some of Hillary Clinton's emails to WikiLeaks and Julian Assange was also murdered. Very interesting. Do you think it might be connected? But wait, there's more here just in a few minutes. Also on the international front, the Burkini battle in Corsica, a lot more coming out about that. Now we learn that the Corsican beachgoers didn't really have much to do with it. That they were there and this group of Muslims came onto the beach to try to take it over and basically kick everybody out. So this initial thing that taking a picture of somebody clad in a burkini, started the fight. Apparently that was not exactly accurate. And now the information coming out is that they try to take over the beach. And of course, the Corsicans, being Corsicans, fought back. And there's been quite a protest outside of the refugee settlement there in Corsica. But it just goes to show that there is this aggressive failure to assimilate by these folks that are coming in as so-called refugees. And I would really hasten to add to that I wonder how many of these people have been vetted properly, too. I mean, I think we all as Americans, and it's interesting that most legal immigrants agree with this, that you should be vetted coming into this country, and you should be vetted if you believe in the Constitution of the United States of America, as it is written in the plain English, because that's what unites us. And if we can't settle on that common denominator, then we really can't have a country. That's the point. I mean, this is what unites us. It's interesting, Bridge of Spies, the movie, typically coming out of Hollywood, you're not going to hear, they actually say that in the movie. The one thing that unites us is the Constitution. Tom Hanks actually says it in his character in that movie. And that has to be first and foremost when we're talking about the immigration issue. And moving on now to the federalization of police. And these kind of go part and parcel. First of all, we can't have a country if we don't have national sovereignty. And I think that's what they want. No borders. and this globalist cabal running the world. But they also want to have this centralization of control even over local law enforcement. And here in the United States, that is antithetical to America. The centralization of control over our local law enforcement is antithetical to Anglo-Saxon Judeo-Christian principles. We want and we support our local police, and we want to keep them independent. But right now, the way that it's happening is the Department of Justice is coming into certain cities. It's already happened in Chicago, Baltimore, and some other cities. They're coming into these cities. They're suing and saying there's all this police, alleged police brutality out there. And then they force these jurisdictions to settle because they don't want to be caught in a long, protracted court battle. And they force them to sign a consent decree. And in that consent decree, essentially the jurisdiction cedes its sovereignty or part of its sovereignty to the federal government to control the police force. I mean, law enforcement has a hard enough time out there right now. Now you'll be micromanaged it from the federal level? Goodness. So that's the way that this is working. And it's not just actually in the law enforcement realm. It actually is going into the environmental realm as well. These consent decrees, one of which was signed actually here locally, they cede sovereignty. And they don't. I don't think you have even the authority to cede sovereignty, but that's how it's happening. And so when people say, oh, this is not happening, there's no federalization of the police, it is happening. It's happening this way. And they do it in this incrementalism, and they do it behind closed doors, and they do it through these settlements. And gradually and slowly erode freedom and liberty. And one of the answers to that has come up in Poland with the Polish militias and the idea that every able-bodied person between the ages of 18 and 45 is trained, self-equipped, but trained in the use of firearms. And suddenly the Polish people look like they're experiencing a huge blossoming of freedom. And they're saying to the refugees that are coming in, no, this is not going to happen in Poland. And oh, by the way, if you try it, we're all armed. Try it meaning sending in terrorists under the guise of being refugees and creating chaos. So the Polish militias, where did they get that idea? They got it from the United States of America. And all of you young folks listening, you've got to learn history. It was one of the reasons the Japanese did not invade the mainland United States of America is because they knew how much of an armed citizenry we actually had here, especially on the West Coast. So being well-armed means freedom. It is the final check and balance in our system, a well-armed people. And I think we can't lose that as we have these discussions. Moving on to the national front, folks, I hope people start waking up out there about Hillary Clinton, but this is the next thing. But wait, there's more. Ha! Huh. Wouldn't you know it, they lost the FBI files linking Hillary Clinton to Vince Foster's murder. They lost the files in the archives. Wait a minute. What? Yes. And it wasn't even a U.S. outlet that brought this forward. It was a news media outlet, the Daily Mail in England, saying that FBI files, quote, linking Hillary Clinton to the suicide of White House counsel Vince Foster have vanished from the National Archives. I hope that doesn't surprise anyone. But if that is happening now, can you imagine if she was president of the United States of America? Can you imagine? And just look at the number of people that are suddenly dying of mysterious circumstances. I mean, my goodness. We need to have our eyes wide open here. It, people that are voting for Hillary Clinton, literally you're voting against the United States of America. You are voting against the Constitution. Unreal. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, you can't make it up. Why? And then this begs the question, why would those files suddenly disappear now? Why now? Also on the national front, ISIS camps just across the border in Mexico confirmed by a Freedom of Information request by Judicial Watch. Going to keep our eye on that situation, but it's confirming what we all suspected all along and actually knew, some of us all along, that they had these camps on the other side of the border. On kind of the weird note on the national front, the Satanic Temple is going to be giving pamphlets to Florida school children. So much for, you know, separation of church and state. That's what all those people argued. You know, you notice it's separation of Christ and state. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get Christ out of everything, trying to get Jesus out of everything. But, you know, you can have Islamic holidays celebrated. You can have Islamic prayers done in school. You can have satanic pamphlets given to children in school. But, oh, no, you get the Ten Commandments in there. Boy, why, we wouldn't want to have anything that said, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt honor thy father and mother. We wouldn't want to have that in there. And doesn't that say it all? And that's why I urge everybody that is listening to this show, if you are not homeschooling, you're having your kids go to a private classical Christian education or a private Catholic school, you shouldn't have them going to public school. And this is one of the reasons why. And interestingly enough, also on the national front, in California, hundreds of school children sent home because of their vaccination policy regarding the fact they didn't have vaccinations, are being sent home from school. So basically now kids are having their education held hostage over this ridiculous stuff on vaccination. And by the way, we are going to try to get Dr. Thompson on, who worked on the study that eventually turned into the movie Vaxxed. They worked on the study where they intentionally fudged numbers so that they did not show a correlation between the MMR vaccine at 18 months and the links to autism. Because the links were actually there, and he actually talks about this, and that actually gave rise to the movie Vax. So that aside, now we have California holding children hostage in public schools, you know, over the vaccination issue, and that's just one thing. I mean, they do it over ideological grounds too. So why would you want to have your children a part of government schools that way? And I know some people, they say, well, you know, we're trying. And there's some great teachers out there that are in public school right now, and they're trying to make the best of it. And they feel micromanaged, and they feel like everything in the classroom is being dictated to them, and they never have enough money. And the question is always, where is the money going? And the answer that I've discovered is to administration of these schools. But the fact of the matter is that the Judeo-Christian culture, the Judeo-Christian value system is being eradicated from our public schools right now. And we have a duty, I believe. We really do. We have a duty to train up the next generation. And it's very difficult to compete when the school has your children for all those hours during the week to try and undo it when they come home at night. And I mean, this is a real serious decision. A lot of people say we can't afford it. We don't have enough time. And there are all kinds of solutions to those concerns. There are. And there are a lot of people out there that are willing to help, especially locally. So if you need help with this and you want to get your children out of public school and you just can't figure out how to do it, send me a Facebook message to Patriot Radio. And I can put you in touch with the people that can help you, okay? But this is just getting ridiculous with satanic pamphlets, for goodness sakes, to school children in Florida. And then this stuff with the vaccines in California. Well, moving on to the regional front, Joe Robertson, who was put in jail, had a stroke apparently, really suffering there. There's a lot of people trying to help him. Seems like everybody's getting blocked at every turn. So please keep Joe in your prayers. Also on the regional front, the 51st state contest finishing up now. Over the next 2 days, if you haven't got your name in, put your name out there, your suggested name for the 51st state in Eastern Washington. On Patriot Radio's website, here are the top 10 names right now for the 51st state. Columbia, New Washington, Opportunity, Liberty, Freedom, New Haven, Ponderosa, Palouse, Providence, and Madison. Those are the top 10 names right now as it stands. So make sure you get your names in, and we'll have the vote starting on Thursday. We'll let that vote go for a week to see which name will be attached to the 51st state of Eastern Washington. And thank you to everybody that has been participating in that. Also on the regional front, the North-South Freeway Advisory Committee. If you have ideas, concerns, issues regarding the North-South Freeway, please send them to me. There's a bunch of us that are now going to be on that advisory committee. Finally, they're involving us, and I really appreciate the new leadership there at DOT helping out to get real true community involvement. There's an issue down at Carnahan, and there should be an off-ramp there, but it's bypassing Carnahan, even though that's a north-south arterial. It goes up onto that part of the South Hill. There's debate back and forth on that, so please send in your ideas about that issue and also your ideas about whether there should be one or two lanes. I advocate two, on and off, going to the North-South Freeway. Right now, it's planned for one. It was originally designed to have two lanes on and off both directions, and now they've narrowed it to one. I just don't see that as being wise. I mean, we're looking 10 years out for the growth in 10 years. We want to be able to handle that. You should build two lanes on and off. So I'd like you to weigh in on that if you get a chance as well. On the local front, I want to give a special shout out to Auto Nation Toyota in Spokane Valley. I went in there the other day, and look, I don't get reimbursed for anything or, you know, none of that. I just like to highlight Patriot businesses when I run across them. And I walked in there, and they're a bunch of God-fearing, Constitution-loving, great folks at Auto Nation Toyota in Spokane Valley. It was just a phenomenal experience, and it just really was encouraging to see a bunch of great Patriots working in Spokane Valley at a business like that. And just a shout out to you guys out there at Auto Nation. And folks, if you're looking for something, I would just go out there and just talk to them at least. I mean, what a great group of people. So I want to make sure we promote Patriot businesses also on Patriot Radio, just like we promoted Jason the Barber and some other folks. You know, this is a big deal, and I was really pleasantly surprised when I walked in there and had such a great time and great discussion with all the folks there, especially Bob Allen, who's a great guy out there at Auto Nation Toyota. Also on the local front, I want to give a shout out to Josh Kearns, who finally made statewide news, not just local news, but statewide news, over his win on the county commissioner race in the primary. Great job, Josh, and there's people recognizing you even on the west side of the state for the great job you did in the campaign, how well you ran that, how ethical you ran that, and how clean of a race you ran. And some people tried to say that there was negative campaigning because Josh compared his stance on issues to his opponent. That's what we're supposed to do, give a clear choice on the issues. And Josh is staunchly opposed to that $200 million transit boondoggle in downtown Spokane that I think we all are opposed to. And so great job, Josh, and it's great to see one of our local candidates getting that kind of statewide recognition. Also on the local front, I want to mention again about Sean Vestal still doing some investigation into that to get the primary source documents, but it's very clear that Sean Vestal is linked to the Peace and Justice Action League called PJALS. It is an anti-Israel. It is an anti-Constitution, for that matter, because it is associated and had as one of their keynote speakers in their 2015 convention, one of the leaders of the Communist Party USA. And then in 2016 had members of the Council of American Islamic Relations, which in the Holy Land Foundation trial, a federal district court judge found as a matter of law and fact, was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. They have them there as well. And Sean Vestal has been donating not only money, but he actually was a speaker on the same stage as the Council of American Islamic Relations this year in 2016 at their conference. So we're going to continue to investigate that and highlight the ties to the American Communist Party, you know, and these local reporters, and really expose them for what they are. I mean, we knew that they were leftists, and we knew that they really shaded the truth. But my goodness, supporting the leader of the Communist Party USA, that's beyond the pale. And supporting the Council of American Islamic Relations is as well. Also on the local front, I want to mention the issue with Deputy Travis Pendle, who we posted on Facebook. There was a source that said that in the investigation with Roy Murray, that there may have been a firearm linked to him that was involved in that murder. Now, we continued to do some investigation, and some of our folks contacted us, and they told us that that wasn't exactly accurate. So we want to be very accurate here. First of all, Deputy Pendle is a family man. He's a Christian. And I also want to mention that there are so many conflicting reports going back and forth that it looks like there might be an agenda here. And the agenda might actually be to deflect away from Sheriff Knezovich, who it is rumored, again, not, this is speculation, this has not been confirmed, but rumored to have had direct ties to Roy Murray. And there is some speculation that there's being this deflection by bringing Travis into the news. But here's what we know. In 2010, Roy Murray was on Scope. That's the community-oriented policing. He was fired from Scope. We don't know why yet. At that time, Deputy Pendle was in charge of Scope for Spokane County. And on top of that, he knew Roy Murray, and Roy trusted him. When Roy Murray was arrested in Las Vegas and had his firearms confiscated, those firearms were given to an FFL. That's a federal, it's a federal firearms license, but it's a federally licensed firearm person that can do these types of transfers in Las Vegas. That FFL then transferred to Deputy Pendle, the FFL up here in Spokane, who then held the firearms for several years before legally and lawfully transferring those. Now, two of those firearms went from Roy Murray to the deputy, but they were not involved in the murder. So the investigation continues, and the question is, were any firearms that were transferred by Roy Murray later involved in the murder? And that is the outstanding issue right now, and it looks like the answer may be no. And that Deputy Pendle is completely innocent of anything other than being there and doing the right thing. So this investigation is going to continue, but there are a lot of conflicting things coming out right now. And some people are speculating that it might be because a certain sheriff wants to deflect away from his relationship that he's alleged to have with Roy Murray. So we're going to keep our eyes on this one. Also on the local front, Freedom Rally fundraiser, August 31st up at Tretzi Farm Winery. Look forward to seeing everybody up there. Again, you can go online to VoteShea.com. You can check it out, sign up there for your tickets. And it's going to start at 6:30. So look forward to seeing everybody there. If you have a question, you can always email me at Matt@VoteShea.com, Matt@VoteShea.com. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. And not only that, if you get the chance, please go to Patriot Radio US on Facebook, like the page, share it with your friends and family. Remember, too, this is a listener-supported show, and if you get a chance to donate or you feel led to donate, please do so at VoteShea.com. Well, it's my pleasure to bring on someone that has been fighting against organizations actually like PJALS, the Peace and Justice, or so-called Peace and Justice Action League, that are anti-Israel. And it's Randall Neal, who's with Christians United for Israel. Thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Matt. Thank you for having me.
Well, if you could tell the listeners a little bit about your organization and what you're doing, what you stand for, that for folks that maybe have never heard of you.
Yes. Well, we were founded in 2006 by Pastor John Hagee in San Antonio, Texas. And he had about 412 leaders from across the country that he cast the vision to for Christians to engage the political fabric of this country, to get a hold of their elected officials and bring a message to our elected officials that is not just their Jewish constituents that care about strong U.S.-Israel relations. And to see if those 412 leaders would join him in Washington, D.C., that following July, 5 months later. And that first July, 10 years ago, we had 3,600 Christians show up to bring that message on Capitol Hill. Since then, we've grown to be the largest pro-Israel organization in the world. We just broke the 3.1 million member mark. And every year, not only do we bring thousands of Christians to Capitol Hill, but every single month, we do pro-Israel educational, informational, solidarity events with the Jewish community locally and with the State of Israel internationally. I'll do 45 to 50 of those events every single month across the country, and we're going to be doing one of them right there in your hometown on September 15th.
That's excellent. And who are you bringing in with you on that date?
We are bringing in a speaker that your listeners do not want to miss. Irving Roth is a Holocaust survivor. And though, you know, people think that they've heard Holocaust survivors in the past at doing a lecture at a school or what have you, with all due respect to those other individuals, the overwhelming majority of today's Holocaust survivors were whisked away when they were an infant and never witnessed the horrors that they were saved from. Irving, you know, watched his community, his neighborhood, his society devolve and transform and turn against himself and other members in that Jewish community right before his eyes. He endured Auschwitz for 8 months. He survived a death march to Buchenwald and was liberated. And today he runs a Judea Study Center in Manhasset, New York, and he also has an organization called Adopt a Survivor where students actually study the reality and the facts about the Holocaust, hook up and connect with one of today's survivors and learn that story so that they can commit to be a surrogate carrier of that story so that their stories are not forgotten. Because as you well know, there are people that are not only suggesting that the Holocaust never happened, but they're trying to blot it from our history. They're trying to rewrite history. They're trying to erase it even from the textbook pages. And if we don't stand up and make sure that that there's a line in the sand, that that not only, you know, we're not coming to this event on the 15th to hear an interesting life story. We're coming to make sure that that story is not forgotten. And most importantly, that that chapter in history is not repeated, because there are things happening on the international stage right now where there are people that would like to see another Holocaust happen.
Well, let's talk about that. There's a lot of people that I talk to about this issue. Let's say, oh, that'll never happen here in America. It'll never happen anywhere else in the world. It's just not going to happen again. Why do you guys obsess about it? What is your response to that?
Well, I would say, you know, originally I long thought that the only silver lining in the absolutely horrendous, unthinkable acts of the Holocaust, the only silver lining that could be found would be that it was so horrific that the world would never let anything like that ever happen again. That was the whole reason that the UN got together. I believe that the Lord gathered the nations together and allowed the UN to be formed at that time to become a midwife to, for the rebirth of the Jewish nation. And people think, you know, that they thought for a long time that that would never happen, but it's happened and over and over and over again. And there's nothing positive to say about the Nazis, but at least they had the decency to try to hide what they were doing. Today, we see acts where people are being beheaded or burned alive, and it goes viral on YouTube as a recruiting device for these radical groups that are trying to wipe out anyone that does not view the world the way that they do. Anyone that does not subscribe to their views, there's absolutely zero tolerance for the existence of anybody other than themselves. And if we continue to turn a blind eye to it and pretend that that elephant is not in the room, then we're going to find ourselves wondering, you know, who will be there to stand up and speak up for us.
Well, and it's interesting that you bring that exact phrase actually up about who would stand up for us, and kind of alluding to a quote from a Christian pastor. What do you think in America? Let's not worry about the rest of the world. What do you think in America is the most dangerous thing right now that could lead us down a road like that in the future?
One of the most dangerous things in America is sitting in the pews of churches right now and across this entire country. And that those are Christians that read their Bible and are God-fearing people, and they really want the best for their kids and their grandkids, and they'd like to see America continue to stand up and be a light and a positive force in the world, but they are politically disengaged. They are either complacent and think that their vote doesn't count, or worse yet, they think that God is in control, so that they don't, you know, they don't need to be. They think God doesn't need my help. I pray, and you know, I don't need to be engaged in the political fabric of this country to make a difference. And they are oblivious to the importance of their engaging the political process and the significance of their single vote, the significance of their single voice. They don't realize that when you take 3 minutes to pick up the phone and call your congressman to you know, pressure them to extend the sanctions against Iran from getting $150 billion, that congressman thinks that there's 999 other people in his district that thinks exactly the same way that you do, but they didn't take the 3 minutes to make the call. And that adds great weight and great impact to that individual single voice. And so I think that if we can do our part, as you're doing your part with your radio program, to challenge and mobilize and inspire and encourage people to be more influential wherever they find themselves, and to, you know, take voting seriously. You may not like either choice, but you've got to make a choice, and you've got to, you know, show up and do our part. If you do not vote, you lose your license to complain. And so, you know, my job, I travel the country doing 20 to 25 events in churches every single month. And I one of my charges and commissions is to challenge Christians that are not registered to vote to correct that, and those that are registered to vote to actually show up on Election Day.
Well, and I've always said on this show, the largest voting bloc in America is Christians. The largest voting bloc in America that's not registered to vote is Christians. And the largest voting bloc in America that is registered to vote but that doesn't vote is Christians. And it's we're to blame ourselves. We only have us to blame for it.
Yep. And
well, I want to go ahead.
No, well, you know, Christians, they often think that, and it's, you know, there are actually ministries that teach Christians that they should not engage the political process. I don't want to get off topic here, but if we would take a look at our own history, there are incredible historic corner turns that were for the good, that were led entirely by Christian movements, whether it be the abolition of slavery or the slave trade, women's voting rights. Even, you know, people don't realize that the Christians actually rendered abortion absolutely illegal once. And that was during the Roman Empire, just, you know, in 300 AD, Christians actually they had become such an influential force in the Roman Empire that infant abandonment and abortion were commonplace, and Christians actually were able to pressure the government to make that illegal. So we've got chapter after chapter after chapter of a legacy of positive works, and we need to, we need to dust that off and drag it out of the closet and put it back into work.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up, and for this reason, that There was a report done by the OSS, that's the Office of Strategic Services. It was the precursor to the CIA at the end of World War II, and it was on the Nazi persecution of the Christian church. And the conclusion of the report, and the idea behind the report was to answer the question, how could this have happened in an ostensibly Christian country? And the conclusion of the report was that the Nazis were successful at making Christians not live their Christianity beyond the four walls of the church. That was ultimately the answer that they came up to in the report. Because Christians did not live their Christianity beyond the four walls of the church, this was allowed to happen. And I think that that's a very cautionary tale for all of us today.
It's there's a couple of edges on that same sword. One of them is they Arianized Jesus. They tried to de-Judaize Christianity, the Bible, and Jesus. They tried to actually render Jesus as an Arian. And that was part of the reason that so many Christians were actually part of the Nazi regime. But another dynamic that they had was, the rise of Darwinism, the teaching of the evolution. And they leveraged that to, believe that for people to, wrap their brain around the fact that you're not created in the image of God. You've evolved from a lower life form, and some of us have evolved more than others. And God help you if you didn't look just like the dominant people group in society. And so they actually, they took what we call the three Ds to the third D. The only way that the Holocaust could happen in the most Christian nation in Europe at the time was they started out by delegitimizing the Jews, that they don't deserve what they've got. They take shortcuts. They bend the rules. They cheat. Then you take it up a notch, or I should say down a notch, to demonizing the Jews. They're responsible for you and I not having what we deserve to have. And then you take it to the third D, which is actually dehumanizing them, actually trying to teach the youth, the younger generations, that they are a subspecies, little more than an animal. And therefore, when you can make that case, then genocide and Holocaust is just around the corner.
Well, and that was behind Margaret Sanger. Eugenics, yep, was behind Margaret Sanger and the start of Planned Parenthood.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, I want to shift gears just a little bit and talk about some of the organizations that are opposed. And I began digging into this here a few weeks ago, especially into the Peace and Justice Action League and the fact that there were local media, people that were tied to this, and very clearly this Peace and Justice Action League was anti-Israel. What groups are you running into out there, and what is the common theme that you're seeing among these groups? And how do you think that we at the local level and in the churches that we have here in Spokane Valley, for example, can we fight back against that and educate people about that?
Well, first of all, whenever I hear the word peace or justice in a group's name, I immediately have a red flag that goes up, because they probably are the polar opposite of that with their agenda. They are the living embodiment of, dark being called light and evil being called good. And so I'm reluctant to drop the names of specific organizations, because I don't want to give them any more credit than or notoriety.
Understood.
But they are invariably under the veil of academic freedom and political dialogue. They try to come across as a, politically correct, harmless platform or soapbox for a specific position. And peace and justice, they will, they try to couch their anti-Semitism as not even anti-Zionism, but just against Israel's social, political, geopolitical positions. And if you pull the layers back, there's nothing but raw anti-Semitism and Jew hatred at the very core of it. They are absolutely ignorant when it comes to the facts on the ground to do with Israel and the Jewish state. They have cast the Palestinian people as the underdogs, and Israel is the new regime, the Roman Empire, with their boot on the throats of the underdogs. And if they would if they would really just, you know, take a look at the root of the conflict that Israel has been in for the better part of 100 years now, and the time after time after time that they've offered land for peace and to try to forge an agreement with their neighbors, they would realize that there's one core root for the conflict between Israel and her enemies, and it is not because Israel refuses to allow the formation of a Palestinian state. It is because virtually the entire Arab world refuses to recognize the Jewish state. And when people can understand that and see it for what it is, the fact that they give the critics of Israel, mainly the Arab world, a get-out-of-jail-free pass and allow them to do to Israel what no nation would allow its citizens to be subjected to, is, in my opinion, I call it a passive prejudice, because they don't hold the Arab world to the same standards that they demand of Israel, because they think that they're not capable of living it to that standard. And if you think about that, that's just a politically correct form of bigotry.
Well, I look at some of the things that these groups are doing, but what saddens me more is that there are some people in the Christian church who try to downplay the Islamic threat in America, try to say that Israel is actually to blame. And these folks are within the Christian church. How do you deal with that sentiment? I'm sure you've run into it.
We do run into it. And I take no delight in seeing, when those things go public, it invariably has a very negative impact on those denominations that take those positions to the degree that many denominations, if we mention their name right now, people would know who we were talking about. They've hemorrhaged nearly half of their, membership because of their positions, and many of them are, exclusively the anti-Israel position. A good example, we've got a group now called the Black Lives Matter movement that we see is gaining traction. That movement, which is really just an anarchist movement, that was kind of kindled into flame from the ashes of the Occupy Wall Street movement that just really wanted to upend society and be anarchists, but they didn't have a message. They didn't really have a message. The only time that they almost started getting some rhythm was when their mantra was, and track with me here, their mantra was Occupy Wall Street, not Palestine. And they still kind of lost the wind in their sails. But this Black Lives movement, they were that this was a total grassroots organic movement that was being, it had a couple of puppeteers that were directing them and choreographing them and rumors of paid antagonists. But if you look at the chapters in our recent news events, when the Black Lives Matter movement aligned with the anti-Israel movement to liken themselves and stand in solidarity with the Palestinians, the oppressed Palestinians, all of a sudden they became an official organization and they received an endowment of $100 million. So that goes to show you that there's a lot of angst out there against Israel. But the entire world that's against Israel, remember, they call Israel the little Satan. The United States is the big Satan.
Well, do you know where that endowment came from?
Are you referring to Iran?
Well, there's a $100 million endowment.
Oh, the endowment.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It's being speculated. I don't know. I mean, I've done some homework on it. They're very proud of it. But the very fact, the message that is out there is demonstrate that you're pro-Israel and there may be a paycheck in it for you.
It's interesting. A lot of these things, as I trace them back, all kind of trace or touch George Soros. So that's why I asked the question. It would be really interesting to find out.
I misspoke just now. I meant to say demonstrate that you are anti-Israel and people will support you.
Yeah. And so, I wanted to ask that question because a lot of this money flows back to him. Well, this is Matt Shea on Patriot Radio with Randall Neal from the Christians United for Israel, and we're talking about all the things that are going on right now, and one of the things that's being downplayed pretty dramatically is the Islamic threat that we have here inside the United States of America itself, and how that's actually playing into really the rise of modern anti-Semitism across the United States. What are you seeing? What do you think people should be aware of, especially at the local level on that front?
I think people just need to start, trying to make sure that they don't find themselves being naive or intimidated out of fear of being considered a racist. People need to, we saw what happened in San Bernardino. My boss, I work for Pastor John Hagee. Well, he's our national chair, I should say. And just months before the shooting in San Bernardino, we did an event with hundreds of Christians just, not even a mile from where that tragedy took place. And he put everyone on warning right there. He said the radicals, the terrorist groups are not coming. They're already here. And nobody really registered. And just months later, that tragedy, unfolded. And so I think people need to realize that we don't live in the same world that we lived in 20 years ago. We can't just change the channel on the TV and this stuff is going to go away. Just yesterday, we had an Army intelligence report on the 331,000 illegal immigrants that we know of that came across our southern border. And the U.S. Army calculates that about 10%, roughly 30,000 of those, are people that are coming from terrorist groups in hostile and unstable parts of the world. And it's just absolutely naive to think that we can just put on our rose-colored glasses and that it's not going to affect us. We need to be very diligent. We don't need to be racist. We don't need to be paranoid and overly cautious, but we do need to be aware. And I think that we need to be honest that when a group says that they want to do something, it's a pretty good idea to believe them. And you mentioned a group in your earlier monologue before I came on the program, and that group that was an unindicted co-conspirator. When a group says what we cannot do in 1,000 years with the sword, we can do in 100 years by birth. It kind of is alluding to what their agenda is.
It really is. And I think a lot of people miss that. And the ties, at least here, the Muslim Brotherhood has direct ties to the mosque here in Spokane Valley. And a lot of people are unaware of it. But now a lot of people are waking up to what's actually happening out there. And I guess that brings us to, what can Christians United for Israel do to affect this, maybe even the legislative level or maybe just in community outreach? What are some of the things besides bringing speakers in that you're doing?
We're mobilizing Christians at the grassroots level. So I would ask your listeners to visit us at CUFI.org. I gave an example of the significance and the weight of a single vote, but when you join those with millions of others, it has a much more collective impact. And so we monitor the pending legislation and issues that are being brought before our elected officials. And we'll route, if we need to shut down the email servers in D.C. over an issue, we'll do it. And so people need to get connected into a vehicle where they can they can move the needle on that piece of legislation in that political fabric. Locally, they need to, I encourage your listeners to, go online and sign up for the newsletters for your elected officials, for your congressman or your councilman, and take the time to show up at a town hall meeting and sit in the front row and find reasons to thank them for something that they've done so that, it isn't impressive that you know the name of your congressman. It's impressive when your congressman knows your name, and you need to foster that relationship so that you can actually have dialogue and have an honest conversation. I can think of countless times where somebody that was set 6 months ago were petrified to lead a meeting with their congressman. All of a sudden, they're bringing issues, and now when there's something to do with Israel, the congressman's office calls them and says, how do you think people are going to feel about this piece of legislation? How do you think people are going to feel about this, move for sanctions? And, I cannot overstate that Christians have so much more influence than they realize. And this, if just those Christians that are already registered, if just they showed up, we would be in an entirely different world.
We would be. Here in Washington State, we're two votes away from a majority in the House of Representatives. And just with that, we lost one race last year by 200 votes. I mean, that's just one church. Just one church would have determined that race alone. And I completely agree with you there. In the last few minutes that we have left, if you could tell the listeners a little bit more about the event coming up here in September and where they can go to get more information about Citizens United for Israel.
Well, just make a mental note that it's at 7 p.m. on September 15th. It's at Covenant Church on Princeton Avenue. You can find out more information on the event at our online calendar at cufi.org. But the opportunity to hear Irving, the opportunity to hear a Holocaust survivor who is doing events like this at the age of 85, he's not doing them so that you can hear, a lecture about an interesting chapter in history. He is doing this because he sees the writing on the wall that there are forces that would like to see it happen again. There are forces that think Hitler didn't finish the job and, that now it's time to do it once and for all. And when a man that lived through it can read the news or listen to a conversation or see what's happening in the Middle East and see that tide is turning and it's trying to happen again, it's extremely important to seize this opportunity to come and listen to his thoughts, listen to his sights, and to get a sobering reality check on the world that we live in. 10 years ago, last month, Israel, did a two-front battle. Hamas to the south, Hezbollah to the north. When they went into that battle, Hezbollah had about 15,000 to 20,000 fairly crude, primitive rockets. Today, Hezbollah has between 150 and 200,000 very sophisticated rockets on Israel's border. The 40-mile stretch of Israel's Syrian border is the most condensed zone for radical terrorism on the entire planet. And you need to get a very serious conviction and commitment to making sure that this nation stands as firmly and effectively as possible with the Jewish state, because as she goes, so goes America. She is a canary in a coal mine, and if you believe any of the words in the Bible at all, then you better believe that I'll bless those that bless thee, and I'll curse thee that curse thee. And the day that this nation abandons Israel or throws that state under the bus is the beginning of the end of life as we know it in this country.
Very sobering, isn't it? Very, very sobering. Randall, I'd like you to comment very quickly. General Mihai Pacepa, in his book Disinformation, he's the highest ranking general that was working with the KGB in Eastern Europe to defect to the United States. He wrote about the fact they literally had a shrine at KGB headquarters against Israel. It was 100 years against Israel, and that shrine apparently still exists there today. And my question for you is, there is quite a tie between communism and anti-Semitism. If you could, in the last minute, comment on that.
I've not read the book, so I cannot, I don't want to speculate and try to form a thought just based on your remarks. But I think we need to just take a look and see that, Eastern Europe, the pogroms, some of the worst instance in history against the Jewish people happened in that area. And even to this day, I have visited Poland. I've seen the onslaught of Eastern Europe. And it's just, it's like a ghost town. You can, you and I can go to areas here in America where we will go to a recreated Native American village, and it's slash a park or a museum, and there have not been people living in that area for decades, but we can go and see how life once was. You can do that in Poland. You can actually go into the Jewish community in Poland, and you can visit a synagogue, and they still have the religious, implements there. But it's just that it's almost a reenactment. It's absolutely dead and hollow. It's not being used anymore, and the communities have been driven out. And I believe, I have no doubt in my mind that when you have a government that is based on atheism, and you have a people group whose core identity, their ethnicity, is really based on being a witness and testimony of God, whether it be the spectacle that he makes of them by the clothes they have to wear, or right, the diet that they have to keep, the Sabbath that they have to keep. And, it's like a thumb in the nose of the atheistic community.
And they're going to do everything. Yeah, they're going to do everything they can to put it down. Well, we've ran out of time. Randall Neal, thank you very much. Citizens United for Israel, I appreciate you joining me on Patriot Radio today. We'll have you back on again soon.
Thank you, Matt.
All right, I just posted Citizens United for Israel. I posted their website up on Patriot Radio's Facebook page, and also the event coming up here in Spokane. I am going to be attending, if at all possible, and I would encourage everybody to come hear that testimony as well. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today, and may God bless all of you, and may he make this generation truly the greatest one.